Gentlemen, welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt here to chat with you a little bit about the June 21st TNA Impact Wrestling Show. And this one, oh man, it was good right up until that last 10 minutes. And, you know, it wasn't as good as last week. If you didn't listen to me rave about last week's show, go ahead, go back and do that, because I get accused a lot about, you know, oh, you're negative about TNA. You know, we all hear it online, the fanboys emailing us going, man, TNA is awesome, what are you doing? They're not awesome a lot of times. But I get accused a lot about showing too much negativity towards TNA, and go back and listen to that podcast, because, man, I was raving about TNA, and I'm going to be mostly complimentary towards them tonight, or today. I thought that they had a really solid show right up until the end, and the end was so bad that it made me want to kick someone. So let's get into the end right now. But before we do that, boom, it's that moment, guys. Let's talk about the ProWrestling.net member side of things. If you're not a .net member, and Lord knows you should be, and you like audio, you're making a mistake, basically. That's what I'm going to put out there. Because we have hours upon hours of audio for you. And just, I'll run through our regular weekly schedule. Monday night, you're going to get a Raw review. Tuesday, you're going to get the PW Torch live cast with Jason Powell and Wade Keller. Talking about the biggest news of the week. And that is along with the standard VIP after show. A lot of times, that thing goes even more than 2 hours. Wednesdays, you're going to get the .NET Countdown Show with myself and Jake Barnett, counting down the top 5 and bottom 3 moments of the week. Thursdays, you're going to get .NET Weekly, which is Chris Shore and Jason Powell talking about the news of the week. Often in that show, we're breaking first-run news that you are not going to hear anywhere else. That's pretty cool. I know I listen to that show to get my news fix on a weekly basis. Fridays, you're going to get my review of Impact, and you're going to get Jason Powell's Q&A most weeks. Saturdays, you're going to get Chris Shore and Jake Barnett breaking down SmackDown. And finally, Sundays, you're going to get, if there's a pay-per-view, you're going to have a pay-per-view audio review that night. That's a whole lot of audio. I mean, that's one a week. Plus, on an occasional basis, Chris Shore will post a Shore slant audio. And then, beyond that weekly audio, Jason and Chris, they're often off doing interviews. They've interviewed guys like Eddie Edwards, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho. Why did I lead off with Eddie Edwards? Hurricane Helms has been interviewed. Sean Daivari, PJ Polacco, Just Incredible. Some great interviews, and all of our back audio is also available on the site for members. So, long story short, ProWrestling.net, if you want to become a member, just for the audio alone, not even mentioning ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET members forum, member first-run news that gets posted on the site, head on over to ProWrestling.net. There's a link on the right-hand side of the page. Click that bad boy for your membership action, and you're in. If you go ahead and take the annual option, it's only going to cost you $5.50 a month. That's a steal as far as wrestling websites go. If you want to just try it out for a month, see if you like it, $7.50 for that first month, boom, then you can lock in that annual rate after that. It's definitely worth it. It is definitely a great product. ProWrestling.net. I'm going to talk about that final segment of Impact first, because I just want to get that out of the way. Because it left a bad taste in my mouth. It really did. So let's get into it. Dixie Carter and AJ Styles came to the ring. They had been building up since, you know, last week, that they were going to say what was going on and what was wrong tonight. So Dixie and AJ come to the ring, say these things have been going on a long time, and that these situations never have positive outcomes. She said people are going to get hurt, lives are going to be changed. Styles starts going like, no, we don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. We could leave right now. And they start walking off. And then a crazy crying chick runs to the ring. And Styles and Dixie go like, what are you doing here? And she took the microphone, faced hard camera. Good thing someone told this whole hysterical girl, when you go out there on live TV, you face that hard cam. Maybe they showed her some like Cyndi Lauper footage from Monday night and were like, Hey, you know how that chick kept turning around? Don't do that. Thanks. Yeah. So, the woman identified herself as Claire. She said the fans don't know her, and Styles and Carter were hoping it would stay that way. So was I, Claire, at the end of this. I would prefer not to know you. That's the cool thing about what you did. She said that she needed Dixie Carter's help, and that AJ Styles has the highest moral character. She goes, Dixie and AJ are not having an affair. I'm an addict, and I am trying to get clean. I started out drinking, and it got out of control. I drink, I do pills. It got so bad that I'm taking money from my family. Oh, okay, then why were Dixie Carter and AJ Styles kissing in a hotel room? Someone want to figure that one out for me, guys? Why were they kissing? It's weird. So she said she went to Dixie and AJ for help. Oh, why did you go to Dixie and, like, not only is this a weird payoff, but it's a nonsensical one. Why can't Dixie and AJ tell their spouses? I mean, maybe if it were, like, Serge's sister that's been friends with AJ for a long time and she didn't want Serge to know, you can pull this off. But why did she go to Dixie and AJ? Like, hey, two random people in my phone book. What's up? Hey, it's Claire. I'm addicted to things. Can y'all help me out? And why wouldn't Dixie and AJ just be like, cool, let's put you in a rehab center? I mean, doesn't TNA have a wellness policy? Isn't that what we should be talking about here? Can't Dixie funnel some money out of Panda Energy to pay for that action? So then Kazarian and Daniels ran out. And she started saying, you know, the photo was them looking over her. So Daniels was going like, no, shut up. You can't. You can't. And Styles and Carter embraced Claire. And, you know, they were all frenzies. Then Daniels came to the ring. And Styles met him with some punches and kicks. And basically Styles took out both Daniels and Kazarian single-handedly here. And he actually... Well, one highlight of this segment, go back and watch that power bomb that Styles hits on Daniels, because that thing is sick. I mean, he throws him. It's not a drop. It's not just like, oh, power bomb, whatevs. He throws him into the mat, like crazy face style. So, yeah, basically, that's how the show went off the air. Styles beating up Daniels and Kazarian. Again, there are so many holes here. And so much just stupidity with this I'm an addict angle. I understand that TNA booked themselves into a corner. I do. I totally get that they went, well, we have this cool thing with Styles and Dixie, and we kind of know where it's going, but what do we do at the very end? Because they can't be having an affair. Styles has high moral character. Dixie has high moral character. Huh, what can they be doing? And it had evolved past the point where a surprise party is a decent explanation. But helping a drug addict is not exactly what I would go for if I were booking this. And even as a viewer, I was sitting there going, a drug addict? Really? That's what you got? That we're going with a drug addict. All right. That's chill, TNA. You know, you don't have to do good things. Yeah, this was a frustrating end. And this chick was such a bad actress. It's one thing to just be, you know, pretty bad for wrestling. She made Dixie Carter and AJ Styles look like Uta Hagen and Stanislavski standing there in the ring. Boom! Theater kid humor. But really, she made them look like great acting teachers standing in the ring. Lee Strasberg was sitting there like, yeah, Dixie and AJ, those are my guys! But this chick, she was terrible. Like, I've seen a lot of bad acting in my life. I do theater. I've been to a lot of bad shows in my life. She might be in the top five. And I watch wrestling, which means I love bad acting. This chick might be in my top five of worst actors on a wrestling show of all time. She was that damn bad, as Triple H would say. So let's move on now. I'm going to start from the top of the show, work my way back here, see if I can come up with some bonus thoughts for you here. I don't know that I will top my Uta Hagen and Stanislavski joke, though. So please, if you're expecting to hear something funnier than Uta Hagen and Stanislavski, you may just want to turn this ish off now. mean, honestly, I got the plug out of the way. Just become a member. I'm funnier in other audio anyways. Jake Barnett and I. That's a funny combo right there. That's quality. Shark swagger. All right. So we started with the previously on Impact and the narrator setting it up. Then we had the open fight night intro. Oh, yeah. Tonight was open fight night. That's cool. And Hulk Hogan came to the ring first thing for a promo. And he started off a little rambly, talking about it's open fight night and the Bound for Glory series. Raise the bar, brother. And he also said, we're not going to give whoever those masked men were any more press. We're going to find him and we're going to make this right for Sting. That was intriguing, because I expected another Lucha Nexus beatdown. I really did. The entire show, I was like, well, when are we going to get Lucha Nexus out here to take it to Sting to take it to AJ Styles and Dixie, to do something that kept them relevant this week. And they were mentioned at the top of the show and then not again, which I thought was a little strange. I expected a little more follow-up from what I assumed TNA wanted to be a major angle. But they've got a lot of major angles happening right now, so I guess I understand why they would take some time off of that one. So, Hogan called out Austin Aries to make his decision after their great segment last week. I was psyched to see this. TNA did a really nice job of, at least for me, getting me to love last week's show, which I did. You know, I've talked unashamedly about how it was, one of the better wrestling shows I've seen all year last week. They did a nice job making me love last week's show. And a really nice job with that show, making me look forward to this week's show and the AJ Styles, Austin Aries decision. So, it was interesting. Hogan offered him a handshake. And Aries was all like, not yet, Hulk. We're not doing this thing. Business first. Okay, he didn't say it quite like that because it would be really weird for a wrestling character to do that. It's probably weird for me to do that. So I'm going to try and refrain from doing that for the rest of this audio. You're welcome. Aries basically was like, my options are hand over the X Division title or keep the title and continue to be the greatest champion in the X Division history. He said that it may seem like a no-brainer, but the X Division Championship is what the company was built on. This is what, and he talked about, he said he wasn't going to run through the laundry list, but many of the wrestlers that have held it are some of the best wrestlers in TNA history. He asked what he could do if he handed over the title to make sure it didn't mean nothing, but that people realized that it was as important as he believes it is. And then he said he came up with a third option, and Hulk interrupted him and said, this better be good, because I didn't give you option C. You better have something revolutionary planned if you're going to waste my time with option C, is basically what Hulk was getting at. So Aries then said he's willing to take the TNA title shot if every year at Destination X, the X Division champion is given the same option. That they have the ability to trade in the X Division Championship for a shot at the World Championship at Destination X. I love that idea. I hadn't even considered it. And suddenly I'm sitting there watching the show and I just went, holy crap. That's brilliant. First of all, it instantly makes the X Division title important and relevant. Because from about February on, you can tell the story of the guy that has that belt, he gets an opportunity at the world title if he can hold on to it and if he chooses to take it. That's a great story. That makes X Division Championship matches matter a lot more. That suddenly makes everything that happens around that title so important. That in and of itself, I'm just looking at it going, great stuff. And I know Jason Powell's mentioned in his audios, he wishes there was a little more logic to the Aries has to give up the title to get the shot aspect of it. I don't know. I see it as it's a secondary championship and, you're going for the top title. You should have to sacrifice something to even get that shot. And I know TNA doesn't always follow that narrative, but I feel like this is a narrative that they're constructing here. And, we're talking new regime and maybe I'm just a little more forgiving of the new writing regime. Except for in that last segment, which was terrible. But I really think that this is a fun concept, and it's something that annually I'm going to look forward to in the X Division. And if they keep the weight limit on it, that also means that they're putting a smaller guy in a main event of a pay-per-view on an annual basis. And yeah, it may be seen as, you know, the token X Division shot. The smaller guy takes him to the limit but still gets his ass kicked shot. But I think it'll be entertaining. And that's what really matters. So Hogan agreed to option C. Austin Aries and Hulk Hogan shook hands, and then Bobby Roode's music hit. He came out and he said the X Division title means nothing. He's holding the real world championship. Said Aries just made the biggest mistake of his life, and Roode said he isn't an X Division wrestler. He's God's gift to professional wrestling. Guys, let's not build up the X Division too much now. We don't want it to get too important. Why not just call them Vanilla Midgets, Bobby? And he's a heel. I think it's really fine for Bobby Roode to say those things. He doesn't need to go out there and be like, Austin Aries, I respect you. Terrible Bobby Roode impression, by the way. I wasn't even trying, brother. Roode said he's going to beat, hurt, and embarrass Aries. Austin said that if Roode is so sure, let's do it now. Open fight night style. I'm calling you out. And they started brawling around ringside. It looked like both men kind of got their licks in on this one. And the TNA agents ran out and broke them up. D'Lo Brown, Al Snow, Pat Kenny, the usual suspects. Gosh, those guys, they just wait backstage and they're like, is someone going to get in a fight that they're not supposed to be in? We want it. We want it. D'Lo Brown's head is wobbling nervously, just like, oh, they better recognize. They're going to recognize. I'm going to make them recognize. So Mr. Anderson's music played as this brawl was being broken out. And this was, the show had some odd chaotic elements where you could tell. There were moments where it seemed like they were trying to start the next segment before the commercial break and really hook people in going into the commercial. So they had to stay. It worked and it didn't work. It wasn't perfect, but it was okay. He said he's going to beat whichever, it doesn't matter, he's going to beat whichever one of them is TNA champion, and he's going to win the Bound for Glory series to do it. So I guess this was Anderson after he lost last week, kind of making his Bound for Glory series aspirations known. So Mr. Anderson calls out Christopher Daniels and says it's because Anderson, or because Daniels has been messing with another man's family, and so Daniels has to come to the ring. They show him in the back, sitting down, sipping an Appletini. By the way, next time they make a Christopher Daniels action figure, you give that thing a little plastic Appletini to hold, because that is good. Appletinis are delicious. I'm more of a beer guy personally, but, you know, the occasional very sweet, disgusting drink is decent. So Daniels wore his t-shirt throughout the match, came out, and Daniels got hit with a mic check at 3 minutes and 5 seconds, starting a theme for the night of 3-minute matches. My God. TNA was trying to cram 8 matches into this. Remember, this was, you know, everyone in the Bound for Glory series had to have a one-on-one match, so that is 6 right there. Then, on top of that, you've got your gut check match, and your open fight night title match with the backstage elimination segments. 8 matches in a 2-hour wrestling show where you also want to have 2 major, like, full segment verbal confrontations involving, you know, Dixie Carter and AJ Styles at the end and Hulk Hogan and Austin Aries at the beginning. This was TNA cramming way too much into one show. And I don't want to be rude about it. I still enjoyed this show, but man, they booked themselves into a corner where suddenly it was like, holy crap, we only have 2 hours. And what happens, and we'll see it, it's main eventers that are in the Bound for Glory series. It's your Kurt Angles, your Mr. Andersons, your Christopher Daniels, who I think is a main eventer. Let's talk real quick actually about Daniels before we get into this Bound for Glory series thing. There is a real issue in TNA with a lack of major heels. Bully Ray is a heel. Robert Roode is a heel. Who's your next heel? Crimson? I mean, Daniels and Kazarian might be, but they keep losing. And you need big heels. You know, they have a lot of major baby faces. Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy, Mr. Anderson, all 3 guys are without a feud. And they're going to be for another pay-per-view because there is no one to feud with them. This is an issue in TNA. this is a real issue with their with their booking strategy and with the way they're doing things. And I would really like to see TNA rectify this situation by building up a healer for, you know, okay, maybe not four, but one or two more major heels. I don't know. Daniels and Kazarian spring to mind. You do that, you stick him in some feuds, or hell, turn Rob Van Dam, he'd put him in a blood feud with Jeff Hardy, pay the man. I mean, Van Dam is a heel anyways. You know, listen to his promos, watch him talk, he's a kind of a douche. Moving on, though, to the thing with the Bound for Glory series. You had main event guys losing 3-minute matches tonight. Main eventers. Guys that you are trusting to sell people on a 20-minute match at a pay-per-view, losing in 3 minutes. That shouldn't happen. I don't know how you keep it from happening and still do this Bound for Glory series open fight night that TNA wants to do, but I almost think you say, you know, it's open fight night, Bound for Glory series, and it's part of the Bound for Glory series, but you know what? 3 Bound for Glory series competitors are going to get the opportunity to call out 3 other Bound for Glory series competitors, and that's how this is going to work. And you pick your 3 favorites and do that, and then you make up the mat for the rest of the matches on the house show. Remember, this is like a 66-match series or something that they're going into with these guys. It is hardcore because the tournament is Red Robin. By the way, or actually, I'll get to that in a moment. Coming up soon, I will predict my final 4 for the Bound for Glory series. If you're not in the .NET members forum or you don't follow me on the Twitter, at It's Will Time. Oh, I love the Twitter. So backstage, we saw Dixie and AJ talking, and they're not exactly happy about what they have to do tonight. Then we went to commercial, we came back, and we saw Brooke Hogan in the GM office. And she was chatting with Madison Rain, Mickey James, ODB, and who was it? Who else was there? Velvet Sky, that's who. And this was the, contender elimination segment. And it was just kind of corny and hokey, and the acting was bad. It came off really catty, the way the girls arguing sometimes do. And there's no real way around that if you're TNA. But there were some odd moments. And Brooke Hogan referred to Miss Tessmacher as practicing every day. Rehearsing? Is that the word you wanted to use? Or do you maybe want to say training? And she has sparring partners. And she's in the ring working every day to get better. I think that that's a more exciting way to put that. But Brooke wasn't bad here. Madison wasn't bad here. No one was really terrible. But in the end, Madison Rain was eliminated because she's got her eyes on a boy. And she's not focused on her in-ring work. And Brooke really wants to see her focus on her in-ring work. Okay, fine segment. I thought that they went to that excuse again with ODB later in the night. With ODB having too much going on outside of the ring, including her man friend. And that just... it rubs me the wrong way when you use the same excuse twice, you know? So, then we had Robbie E come to the ring, and he said he's not afraid of anyone, so he said he's issuing an open challenge to anyone else in the Bound for Glory series to get punked by Big Rob, bro. And then the wrestlers were shown, and Kurt Angle was, like, running to the ramp. He's like, I'm in. Took off his t-shirt, Angle's music hit, boom. Kurt Angle beat Robbie E in 30 seconds. The reason that Robbie E is in the Bound for Glory series is to lose a lot. Maybe he'll get one victory, little 7 points next to his name. But I think Robbie E is there as a guy that can lose a lot. And when you look at the Bound for Glory series, I look at it and I go, you have not meticulously booked this out. You booked it, but it's not the... I don't believe that it is the meticulous detail where they have every match and who goes over in every match on a board backstage and when each match is occurring. I think that they're going to make up a lot of that stuff as they go. And you kind of have to because guys can get injured. You know, things can happen. We saw it last year with Matt Morgan getting hurt and all of that. And, you know, Crimson's beating everyone. We should probably do an injury angle on that, dude. Boom, Crimson, you're out. So I think when you look at a lot of the point system stuff, that's there because they want to make sure that they have every excuse they need. Oh, you're getting too far ahead in points, but we don't want you in the final four. Disqualification. Things like that. Hey, I think that's there so TNA has an excuse. But Robbie E undoubtedly is there to lose. That's his purpose in this. And this was a submission win, which was worth 10 points. Good for Kurt. We saw a video on the Gut Check contestant, Taylor Hendricks. I thought Gut Check got a little bit lost tonight, more than it has been recently, because it was, you know, and I know the big segment is next week where Taz and Bruce Pritchard and Al Snow argue. Money right there. Sheer money. If Bruce Pritchard threw in and I love you, I would be, I would buy 4 TNA pay-per-views a month. I know TNA might actually jump at that opportunity if they're listening. That almost doubles their buy rate right there. But she talks about being diagnosed with cancer at the age of 21, and she kind of had a sob story. They showed her in the ring, and if there's one thing that I thought she looked, both in this video and in her in-ring work, she looked a little too perky in the ring for me. Like, as weird as that sounds, it was like a, yay, I'm wrestling! Not a, yeah, I'm about to go out there and I'm going to kick some ass. Look, and that's just something talent-wise as I'm evaluating her that I go, let's tone it down, girl. Less is more. Less is more. And I do talk like that regularly. It's not just for audio when I'm talking to my computer and want to entertain myself. It's a sad life. So yeah, she basically said she wanted to be Knockouts champion in TNA and that she wanted to be a wrestler. Then we had Magnus come to the ring and say he's going to call someone out right now. And we went to commercial. Came back and Magnus said, this was odd. Go back and watch this promo. Think about the fact that Magnus is dating Mickie James right now, and look at all the rumors concerning John Cena and Mickie James and his wife and everything that Ken Doan is putting out there. And then watch this Magnus promo. I feel like this was a rib on Magnus. You know, he did well with it. He did really well, but this was kind of an odd promo considering all of that he's kind of on the periphery of dating Mickie James. That you're just like, wow. Whoever wrote that, I either want to high-five them or punch them, but I'm not sure which. But he basically said he wanted a match with the homewrecker, AJ Styles. Magnus versus Styles, Styles acted distracted for the whole match. He couldn't hit the Pele kick, which was cool of the announcers to point out that he's, like, never missed it. And then you had Kazarian and Daniels come out with the envelope, and Styles got distracted, and Magnus was able to pin him. Decent. My prediction for the final four, I'm doing it now, folks. James Storm, your first seed. I think you don't do anything to quell James Storm's momentum at this point. You just say, you know what, he's going to be the number one seed, and you do it tournament style at the end. That's if TNA wants a solution to that problem, you do it tournament style, and you talk about James Storm halfway or, you know, three quarters of the way through the series clinching. You know, you make it like sports. When I get excited when the Packers clinch the NFC North. That is, or, you know, they clinch a playoff spot and then they win the division. And then, you know, they win, you know, then, you know, they clinch a first week bye. That's exciting. You talk about James Storm doing that. You know, he's clinched the number one spot. No one's going to catch James Storm. His match is now, it's all bonus, or, you know, you do something to make him meaningful, but you say James Storm is locked in. He is the number one seed in the Bound for Glory series. And then you do your number two seed, and I would put, actually open this up in the .NET members forum right now, because I made my predictions. Actually, I'll open it up on the Twitter machine. Gotta love that Twitter machine. This is exciting, exciting audio, folks. Wait for it. Here we go. Your number two seed, I think you go with a guy like Samoa Joe. He, you know, Joe's great. Joe's a guy you can plug in and use credibly. And I think Joe is deserving of a push. He looks like he's in good shape right now. Like, Joe is someone that could do it. Your number three seed, I think you put Magnus in there. Magnus is a guy who, just by making it to the final four, he makes it to the final four, he loses. Magnus still, you know, there's still some money in that. There, you say, you know, Magnus, man, he came out of nowhere. We thought he was a wild card in the series. We didn't expect a lot out of him. suddenly Magnus came out and he was great. There it is. Like, that's fantastic stuff. And then my number four seed is Kurt Angle. And I think your semifinals, you know, James Storm versus Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe versus Magnus leads to a James Storm and Magnus final, which, or James Storm and Samoa Joe, depending on which way you want to go. But I think a final of James Storm and Magnus, and, you know, you really make Magnus by saying he made it to the finals of the Bound for Glory series. And you pay off some tag team tension between Joe and Magnus. Money all the way around to me. I really, you know, maybe it's because I'm coming up with it, but I like that plan. Yeah. So Magnus beat AJ Styles. Jeremy Borash was in the ring and said, you know, here's your gut check, Taylor. Taylor, by the way, spells her name T-A-E-L-E-R. Ugh, annoying. Tara came to the ring for the gut check match, and it was kind of, it was okay. It was 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Taylor got a little bit of offense, but it was mostly selling for Tara. And what I do like, while the gut check segments have been a little odd, no one's won their gut check yet. I like that a lot, because when someone does, they have the potential to blow the roof off the impact zone. They just have to make sure it's the right wrestler that wins their match, and, you know, not by cheating, but just let them be better on that night, and, you know, have it be this shocking upset, and you've got, you know, I say a lot of things are money, but you've got money there. Odd match, yeah, she had cancer at the age of 21, so they're probably going to say yes to her. I don't know that the Knockouts division needs more people. You know, I don't know that there's a spot for her, and, you know, we haven't seen Alex Silva debut yet, although I think Destination X could be a good time for him to go out there and have a really good match with, you know, an X division guy. Backstage, the production crew was talking to Joseph Park, leading him around, and then Bully Ray was waiting there, and Bully Ray said if he ever sees him in the crowd again, or his brother, it will be the last time anyone sees either of them. Bully Ray. Yep, that's what happened. Then we had Samoa Joe come to the ring. Great promo from Joe here. Some awesome fire that we haven't seen from Joe in a long time. And he said he wants Samoa Joe because he's fresh back from petting his horse and he wants to fight James Storm because he's fresh back from petting his horse and losing his smile. I popped for the losing my smile line because the James Storm thing was so much like that, and it was so obnoxious to me that anytime I get the chance to make fun of James Storm losing his smile, I'm going to take it. And I love James Storm passionately. Storm's awesome entrance music hit, like the best entrance music in wrestling, hands down. I'm just giving it to James Storm. We have a thread going on about that right now in the .NET members forum. James Storm, people, that is awesome entrance music. I don't even like country that much, but that song makes my heart smile in awesome ways. So then we had Samoa Joe versus James Storm, and this was a 3 minute and 55 second match that ended via pinfall when Storm hit the last call super kick. Decent match from them, but again, under 4 minutes. You know, I don't think you have your main eventers like Samoa Joe lose in under 4 minutes. That's me. You know, I think it devalues them a little bit. They did mention during tonight that the Bound for Glory series matches all have 10-minute time limits. So I think we're going to see quite a few 10-minute draws in the series to keep point totals low, really, when you've got a guy like James Storm in there who can just take off points-wise. Which, like I said, I would argue that it's okay to let him do because he's James Storm and he's good. And then Samoa Joe, after the loss, looked like he was going to hit James Storm with his beer, but handed him a beer instead. Nice guy. We had a video recapping AJ Styles and Dixie Carter, and that was it for the moment. I think we got another backstage segment between them or something, but it wasn't all that necessary. Then we saw Brooke Hogan in her office again, and she was talking about ODB and how she's been distracted with marrying Eric Young and all of that, and basically same reason. ODB, you're eliminated, and I'm going to have to spend a little more time making this choice between Velvet and Mickie James. Cool. Mickie in these segments, by the way, came off really unlikable, which I think is what they're going for. Talking about how, you know, she's held every woman's title there is. She's the greatest women's wrestler in history. Yeah, you know, a decent segment. Bully Ray came down, asked the fans if they know who he is. Blah, blah, blah. He mocked the fact that Joseph Park was no longer in the crowd. and then called out the Pope. He said he's going to take the easy one, and he wants a shot at Pope. So Pope was shown getting his jacket and glasses put on, and he came to the ring for this match. One thing I would like to see with Pope, and I don't love the character. I'm not super into it. But one thing that's missing right now with Pope is that I don't know who he is. If I, you know, if I've missed TNA since, what, like lockdown last year or something? And that never-ending Samoa Joe feud? Or if I didn't see Pope and D-Bon's sons suddenly become best friends and worst enemies and everything in between? Man, I don't know who Pope is. And I think a reintroduction of the Pope is necessary. And you can do it as part of the Bound for Glory series. You run some video packages on each guy, but make sure the Pope is one of the first. Make sure you give him some attention. Just make sure the Pope is, you know, what they want him to be, and that he's being used as the star that they think he can be. There's something cool about Pope. There's something fun that they could do. This match was Bully Ray versus the Pope, and ended in 3 minutes and 40 seconds, and it ended basically with Abyss coming down from the crowd, distracting Bully Ray, and Bully Ray getting clotheslined and rolled up for a loss. It's okay. You know, it's not ideal, but it's okay. Again, reintroduce Pope, give people longer matches this week, and, you know, have less. This was the 6th match of the night. I mean, my God, there were 8 matches tonight. Backstage, Hulk Hogan was talking to Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy, and he said, "Hey, no one called you guys out. You must be our biggest stars. You're two favorites to win the series," which is fine. You know, they are main eventers. I didn't like Hulk calling them the biggest stars in the series, because I don't think Hulk should be endorsing anyone that way in the Bound for Glory series at this moment. Oh, I should mention something I liked about that first segment when Hulk Hogan was talking to Austin Aries. Austin Aries made a big deal about how giving up the X Division title for the world title shot meant that he got to jump ahead of the competitors in the Bound for Glory series. And that, you know, I wanted to high-five TNA for acknowledging that, because you've made the Bound for Glory series seem important, and you've made this opportunity seem that much bigger. High-five-sies TNA creative. So basically, you made the main event of Hardy versus Van Dam for tonight. Or for this show. Then they showed Brooke Hogan checking out pictures of Velvet Sky and Mickie James. And they came back from commercial, I believe, or something, and showed part of a Montgomery Gentry music video with Velvet Sky. Guys, I love James Storm's theme music. I hated this music video. Lucky for me, I could switch over to the NBA Finals real quick, see what was going on. LeBron finally got his ring. It's a cute story, really. I hope he turns it into a horcrux. Gosh, I am nerdy this week. First, I try to make jokes about the OC in wrestling together. No one got that, by the way. Taylor Townsend and AJ, look it up. They're similar. Then I make horcrux jokes in this audio. I'm off the rails. I am, in fact, off the chain, Bobby Roode style. Yeah. So, then we had backstage Brooke Hogan talking to Velvet Sky and Mickie James and saying, Velvet, I gave you that music video, so Mickie James gets the title shot. It's kind of odd logic, but I guess it works. So Mickie James goes out there to fight Brooke Tessmacher. Sorry, Miss Tessmacher. Tess, as I think they're supposed to start calling her. And I thought that this was a good choice, because the thought of a Velvet Sky versus Tessmacher match, that scared the hell out of me. They're, you know, Tessmacher, she's okay in the ring, but I don't believe that she was, I don't believe that Tessmacher is the right person to carry Velvet Sky to a match that Velvet Sky needs to be carried to. I think she's okay. I think that Mickie James is someone that can have a great match with Miss Tessmacher, and they had an okay match here. The Tessmacher ended up winning with a roll-up in 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Good match. I contend that these title matches on Open Fight Night would mean more if we didn't get so many knockouts and tag team title matches on Impact in general. It seems like when they want to pop a rating, they go to a title match without realizing that that's one of Open Fight Night's main gimmicks, and that it matters less when you do it on Open Fight Night. And every other time. you know. So then we had a shots aired of Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam walking backstage. Tanay said the main event is up next. And we had Jeff Hardy versus Rob Van Dam. Hardy pinned Van Dam in 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Again, this is a main eventer losing a 4-minute match. I think that this was a mistake to have every Bound for Glory series competitor fighting on the show. But that's me. Not to mention, you have, what, like 3 open fight nights in the span of the Bound for Glory series, so take your time. You know, make each one matter. Make each one a big deal. You've got 12 guys there. Say each of these 12 guys are going to get an opportunity to call someone out during the series. And maybe say, you know, if you want to make it even more important, say this is each guy gets his bonus match on open fight night where he gets to call someone out else that's in the series and fight them again and fight them for points again. You know, and every guy's still having the same amount of matches, and only, you know, if you get called out, man, you've got an opportunity to earn some more points and jump ahead. Yeah, I would buy that logic myself. So, yeah, that was 2 matches there. They did, you know, they did decent with Van Dam and Hardy. But again, I want to see Van Dam turn heel against Jeff Hardy and just turn it into a blood feud. Make it so, number one. Then we had an update on the Bound for Glory series standings. James Storm has 27 points. Kurt Angle has 10. And 4 other guys have 7. Everyone else has nothing. Ta-da! Feels good. Feels good to be in Bound for Glory series mode. Last year, I think I was down on the series a little bit because I thought that it was a little bit too convoluted. But this year, I'm pretty into the Bound for Glory series. I think they're doing a nice, nice job with it. Then we got that AJ Styles and Dixie Carter segment. Oh, dear God, help us. So it was a good show. Overall, I think it wasn't as good as last week. They tried to cram too much in. But, again, they told some solid stories, aside from that last one. They did some good work here. And TNA is improving. I think I'd still vote this. I haven't seen SmackDown yet, but I think this gets a slight edge over Raw as far as quality of wrestling show, quality of story told, quality of in-ring action. I give it to this over Raw. And, of course, I give it to the new NXT over both shows this week as my wrestling show of the week, but... Dang, that new NXT, man. Watch it. I know you've got to kind of go out of your way and find a YouTube clip and all that action. But watch it. It is a show well worth checking out. Well worth 45 minutes of your time, because on YouTube you ain't getting them commercials, y'all. Puzzling why WWE has not put that on their own YouTube, but that's chill. Watch it. That Tyson Kidd versus Mike McGillicuddy main event is phenomenal. Those guys can go. They've got great chemistry together, and some great stuff happened there. Plus, Jim Ross is on commentary. You can't say no to that. Anyways, now that I've gone on a tangent about another wrestling show, this week's Impact was okay. Not great. It was good. The ending sucked. Sucked terribly. Sucktasticity is what it contained. No Lucha Nexus appearance either. That kind of bummed me out. I thought that we were going to get a little more from that story, and we just had Hogan mentioning it, so... I would like to see that develop further. Next week, they've got those annoying little gut check segments that I'm going to get pissed off about because they break kayfabe all the time. I just want to hear Taz be like, I don't care if she had cancer. I hate her. Because that is also my Brooklyn accent, apparently. Best in the world over here at accents. Hopefully at some point I get to make another theater kid joke about Uta Hagen. And on that note, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to the ProWrestling.net All Access podcast of TNA Impact Wrestling and the audio review that I do. Check out .net membership. It is a good time. And thank you. Have a great day, everyone, and a good weekend. Happy weekend.